What's happening, people? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and today I'm asking the question, did Nico Harrison curse the Mavericks? In addition to that, I'll be having a guest on, my good buddy Russell Hines. We'll be talking some college basketball, a lot of Badgers basketball. Great interview with him. We got a first interruption with Stephen A. Smith, and I'll make my conference tournament picks, not for all of them, but for the first half of them. So yeah, good show for y'all. Who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So did Nico Harrison curse the Dallas Mavericks? I absolutely think he did, and I might be a little biased from my point of view as a Lakers fan, but there's no other way to look at this Dallas Mavericks season other than just a certified tragedy from the standpoint of a Dallas Mavericks fan. Obviously, you had the Luka trade, but after AD got hurt in his first game since being traded there, To make matters worse, last night Kyrie Irving unfortunately tore his ACL. Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis finished the season only having played one single game together. Really tough loss for the Mavericks. And I know it's an ACL injury. I know it's a freak accident or whatever, but I'm blaming this solely on Nico Harrison. I think all Mavericks fans should do the same. It's completely his fault. But yeah, shout out Kyrie Irving. After tearing his ACL, he got helped by two coaches or two trainers, helped him to the free throw line, and he shot and made both free throws. But yeah, just grim season for the Mavs here. Jaden Hardy, one of their other players, is also out for a, quote, period of time. Gafford's hurt. Lively's hurt. They're the 10 seed right now. It looks like they're going to probably be slipping out of the play-in here. They're going to have Klay Thompson as their number one option. Not really known for being a great ball handler. I guess that'll probably be Dante Exum's duties. But yeah, you don't love having an older Klay Thompson as your number one option. And to continue to make matters worse, Shams reported today that it's not out of the realm of possibility that one game was the last time we've seen Anthony Davis this season. So, yeah, tough year to be a Mavericks fan. And if you're a Mavericks fan, I say you boycott the team, although I don't want them to move the team to Vegas. So I don't know how to do that. How do you boycott Nico Harrison and let him know he's an idiot without risking the possibility of moving the team? I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. Let me get to my next question. Did Jimmy Butler pay his rent? Seems like a ridiculous question to be asking about a guy who just signed a, two-year, $120 million extension with the Warriors. But apparently, he's being sued for allegedly failing to pay $260,000 in rent. He also left behind more than $127,000 in damages related to a luxury home he leased in Miami Beach. Five Star Marketing and Promotions, Inc. sued Butler in the 11th Circuit Court in Florida last week, outlining their allegations. In the suit, they're contending that Butler failed to pay 2 months of rent at $130,000 per month for the property. The lawsuit also alleges, and this is kind of the funny part here, the lawsuit also alleges that Butler changed the locks and would not give a key to the property owner, keeping maintenance workers from entering the home. Butler is also alleged to have failed to maintain the swimming pool and air conditioning, the latter leading to extensive mold that required the replacement of ceilings and floors on the property. I don't know why did Jimmy change the locks? Why did you not want the maintenance guys in to get that mold out to maybe maintain the swimming pool? This is hilarious. I'm sorry. The plaintiff is seeking a payment of $257,000 and the right to keep Butler's $130,000 security deposit. Butler has not commented on the case. Obviously, We still have yet to go to court with all of this. There's been no verdict reached, but I don't know. I kind of believe Five Star Marketing Promotions here. It sounds like they have some fairly ironclad evidence that Butler didn't pay his rent and he left over $100,000 worth of damages. So, yeah, weird season for Jimmy Butler. Obviously, he probably had other things on his mind. And, you know, maybe he was so focused on getting traded from Miami that he forgot to pay his rent. Who's to say? Let's talk some football with this next question. Where's Devontae going? Now, apparently this wasn't really that shocking of a move. I was slightly shocked myself, but I guess I should have been prepared for it after they, you know, decided they're not going to go back with Aaron Rodgers. Why would they go back with Devontae Adams? But that's the news today. The Jets have released Devontae Adams. He'll be a free agent for the first time in 11 seasons as a pro in the NFL. I saw from a very reliable source at All Sports News on Instagram. I swear, they're super, super reliable, but they're kind of saying all indications are that Adams will follow Rodgers to his next destination. So where's Devontae going? I guess wherever Rodgers is going. A lot of people are saying the New York Giants are the favorite to get Aaron Rodgers. So I guess Devontae Adams, you are a New York Giant. Imagine Malik Nabers and Devontae Adams. Wait, we did this last year. They had Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams. It didn't work. I don't know. I'm still rooting for Rodgers. Personally, as a Packer fan, we'll take Devontae Adams. I don't know if I want to pay him $30 million a year. $30 million, coincidentally, that's how much money the Jets saved by cutting him. But hey, the Packers would love to have you, but I think it's more likely he follows Rodgers. So I guess Adams is a Viking. That's my Rodgers prediction. I still think he's going to the Vikings. The Vikings did announce today they won't be franchise tagging Sam Darnold. So the prophecy that Brett Favre foretold is looking more and more likely by the day here. In other NFL news, the Eagles are rewarding Saquon Barkley with a 2-year, $41 million contract extension. That's a no-brainer, obviously. First running back to ever make $20 million a year, which is surprising to me, but I guess that's the market in a passing league. Other moves for the Eagles, they released Darius Slay and James Bradbury. I also think that's a solid move rather than pay those guys, kind of rely on the young secondary you're building up with guys like Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, who both of those cornerbacks were finalists for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So I think some savvy moves from the Eagles here. I've heard they're losing quite a few players from their Super Bowl team. I don't think they will repeat, but hey, they're as talented of a roster as maybe anyone's ever seen, but obviously they're going to lose a little bit of that talent, starting off with Slay and Bradbury. Other NFL news, the Rams veteran guard Jonah Jackson was traded to the Bears for a 6th-round pick. I heard he was trash, and I'm only repeating the thing that he's trash because he's going to the Bears, and the Bears are trash, so he's probably not great either. You can clearly see I'm wearing a gold Malik Willis jersey, which does not exist, but Temu has some wonderful things. So I ordered a alternate jersey of my team that doesn't exist for the backup quarterback Malik Willis. But I don't know, I'm pretty excited to be wearing this. And shout out my sister for this Packers bandana. But I'm getting completely off topic. Let's keep talking some football. Next question, is Debo washed? I don't think so. I think a lot of people were saying last year, this past season, that Debo is washed. They're saying he's fat, he's slow, he can't catch. But I don't think he's washed. I think he's still got some left in the tank. I think the 49ers season overall was just a disaster. So it's hard to just point to Debo and say, it's his fault for underperforming this year. But I gotta start saying the headlines after I ask the question, because you probably, if you haven't been following the NFL, you might not even know what I'm talking about. Debo Samuel was traded to the Commanders for a 5th-round pick. That's why I talked about whether or not he's washed. I don't think he is. I think this is a great move for the Commanders. That is a formidable duo. I feel like I say the phrase formidable duo every week, but with Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel. It is that a formidable duo. Jaden Daniels will keep doing Jaden Daniels things. A couple more NFL things to go through. Bengals have officially franchise tagged T. Higgins, who was probably pissed he didn't get a long-term extension, but $26 million for the year, not too shabby. Although I would be annoyed, you know, you'd probably rather have the 100 mil over 4 or 5 years. Another guy who was in the talks to be franchise tagged was Osa Odighizuwa, the Cowboys defensive tackle. He actually avoided that franchise tag. He signs a 4-year, $80 million deal. This was the fewest franchise tags in a year in decades. There was only two players franchise tagged this year. That was the Chiefs guard, Trey Smith, and of course, T. Higgins. Last two pieces of news for the Packers is that they are re-signing Isaiah McDuffie to a 2-year, $8 million deal. Who could forget that awesome performance he had on Thanksgiving? And then, I guess I got some baseball news as well. The Brewers are signing Jose Quintana. I was going to say F you, Jose Quintana, but you're on our team now. But you did cook us in the playoffs last year. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about Quintana. I think he would slot in nicely as our, you know, 4 or 5 pitcher in the rotation. Last question before we get to first interruption with Stephen A. Smith is, should we still trust the process? I don't know. I've been a big believer in the process for, it feels like a decade. It feels like this process has been working out for a decade, and the 76ers have still not gotten to the conference finals even. But should we still trust the process? I don't know, because he's out for the year. Joel Embiid, done for the year. Not shocking to anyone, I guess. I mean, he's injury prone every year. I'm starting to lose faith in the process. I'll be honest. I was back in the, you know, I wasn't rooting for the 76ers, but they were maybe my second or third favorite team, you know, back when they had Michael Carter Williams. I was a big believer of his, and they had all these draft picks and Embiid and Matisse Thybulle. And who's that one guy who forgot to shoot? Markelle Fultz. You know, I thought they had the makings of a championship team. I thought they'd be decent this year with Paul George and Maxey and a healthy Embiid, but they won't be. It's up to Playoff P and Tyrese Maxey to get this team to the play-in. So I don't know. I'm not totally out on the process, but I can't say I fully trust it here. Two other pieces of NBA news. PJ Tucker was waived by the Raptors. PJ Tucker is 39 years old. I learned that the other day. I was like, 39? That's crazy. I don't know if he'll be picked up by another team. Maybe, I don't know, maybe someone will need a little scrapper for the playoff run. But then other NBA news was Ant Edwards was suspended and fined $35,000. He received his 16th technical of the year. That's good for a one-game suspension. And then he was fined. I think he threw the ball in the stands after my Lakers beat the Timberwolves. But yeah, that suspension's interesting to me because apparently every 2 techs after your 16th tech, it's another one-game suspension. And Anthony Edwards seems to have no shortage of technicals in his bag. So we'll see if he ends up missing any other games this year. I hope not, because he's one of, if not the most entertaining player in the league to watch. Let's get to our first segment of the day, which is always First Year Interruption. Today we're going to be interrupted by Stephen A. Smith. He had what I thought was a wild idea for the Oklahoma City Thunder to do in the offseason. I should have waited to plug that in before, whatever. He thinks the Thunder should trade for Kevin Durant. Is that crazy? Yes, it is. But here he is. First year interruption with Stephen A. Smith. Take it away, Stephen.
The Oklahoma City Thunder should go and get Kevin Durant back. And here's, if you lose this year, if you don't get it done this year, they should go back and get Kevin Durant. They've got so many assets. They have stuff to give away. They can't possibly use all of them.
Right.
Phoenix is in desperate need for assets. Now, obviously, that's something that could potentially alienate Devin Booker because he's not trying to be a part of a rebuilding or a reclamation project. But if you are the Phoenix Suns and you're trying to get what you can for an aging Kevin Durant, albeit a superstar who is aging, then you call the Oklahoma City Thunder. And this is why I say Sam Presti should consider it, especially if the Oklahoma City Thunder don't win this year. Enough of Sam Presti. The man is a phenomenal executive. We know this, but I'm sick of you. Got to close. Always be closing. You remember the movie Glengarry Glen Ross?
Yes.
With Alec Baldwin. Always be closing.
Yeah.
Sam Presti has had 17 years and has never closed. He's had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Paul George, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, Carmelo Anthony, Victor Oladipo. I mean, the list goes on and on. Now you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams. You got Chet Holmgren. You got Hartenstein. You got everything. I mean, my God, this man has had everything but an apron and a bib. You got to win.
This man has got everything but an apron and a bib. I don't even know what that means, but that comment made me laugh. But I don't know. I guess Stephen A. kind of has a point in terms of, like, it's a trade fit. You know, the Suns need picks. The Thunder have picks. You know, Kevin Durant's a superstar. Oklahoma City's a contender. But I don't agree with Stephen A. that that's the move OKC needs to make. I think Kevin Durant, as good of a player as he is, he would kind of ruin that team's chemistry. He would, you know, he would be the Batman, and he would turn Shai Gilgeous-Alexander into a Robin. And I just don't think it would go well. I think the Thunder are more focused on the future. I don't think the Thunder do that trade, to be honest with you. And I think that's the right decision for the Thunder to not do that. But I don't know, just a fun little hypothetical. Giving Kevin Durant back to OKC, but I think OKC's better off building for the future, you know, hoping and praying Chet Holmgren will stay healthy, and obviously, you know, seeing what Shai can do, see if he can win an MVP, and, you know, Jalen Williams is a soon to be a bona fide superstar, in my opinion, and probably the opinion of many. But yeah, I don't know. OKC, they're going to have, if they ever win a championship, they're going to go through, you know, these tough losses. They're the one seed, but they're going to need to, you know, kind of get some dirt under their fingernails before they can go on a true championship run. But I don't think Kevin Durant is the path to that championship run. Do I think you adding Kevin Durant to that team could bring them a championship? Yes, but I don't think it's worth it for the side effects and the drama that Durant brings. It'd be a cool homecoming story, but I do think it would ruin their chemistry. Speaking of chemistry, we got an interview here. We got Russell Hines, me and him, great friends. We talk a lot of college basketball here, some March Madness, some Badgers basketball. Fun interview with him, so take it away. Here he is, Russell Hines.
Now pulling up to the pod is a longtime good friend of mine, three-time fantasy baseball champion. It is Russell Hines. Russ, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me on the pod. I'm just delighted, tickled to be here.
I'm delighted to have you, bro. So how's the Northeast? You moved to Connecticut like a couple months ago, right? And
I've seen
you've been frequenting New York a little bit. We got some buddies up there as well.
Yep. I've been to New York to visit my friends Jack and Nando, among others. You know, Connecticut itself, kind of a terrible state. Not a lot to do there. But, damn, you know, the things around it are great. You got New York and then Boston. And then I've been going up to Vermont to go skiing a whole bunch. I guess snowboarding. But I went with my brother. I went with, you know, my friends, James and Jimmy.
Oh, nice. And, nice.
Yeah, I've been going with Lily a lot. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Hell yeah. So you're a boarder, not a skier.
I'm a boarder, correct.
Nice. I bet you and Sammy had some fun doing that. I need to learn how to snowboard, man. I tried I tried skiing recently. I couldn't get down the bunny hill. Maybe boarding's my where I need to go.
Maybe, Matt. Maybe.
Do you ever ski? Have you seen a difference between the two? Like, which one's easier?
I have not. I think I maybe tried once when I was like 10, but no.
Fair enough.
Not a skier. I do want to try.
Well, we could talk some skiing, but obviously wanted to talk some college basketball. We got March Madness. I think Selection Sunday's in like 2 weeks from now. So I wanted to talk to you. You're a pillar of the March Madness industry. You're the one who's starting those pools and the group chat every year, and you seem to be an avid ball watcher. So I wanted to talk some March Madness. Let's start off with our team, the Wisconsin Badgers, because been a very exciting year. We're ranked 12th in the nation right now. So I just got to straight up ask you, is this the team? Can we go on a run here with this Badger team?
Matt, this is the team.
Let's go.
On KenPom, I believe we're a top 10 team. Our offense is elite, one of the best, since definitely the best since 2014, 2015, maybe even better than those teams. Yeah, I don't know. But you've got Tonji, Big Ten Player of the Year, maybe. John Blackwell, so good, so underrated. Two bigs that can shoot. Everybody on our team could shoot, which is awesome. And then, you just got those gritty guys. You got Gilly, you got Jack Janicki, you got Killa Cam. I don't know, dude. Great team. I'm hoping for great things this March.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You mentioned KenPom there. I guess you said we're a top 10 KenPom team.
I
Can you
think so. We might
explain?
have dropped out of that. After Michigan State, but if we're not, we're close.
Okay. Well, regardless of where we're ranked in KenPom, can you explain KenPom to me like I'm five? Because I see it every year. I know it's really important and can help you pick your brackets and such, but do you know what goes into that? Because
It's a whole bunch of statistics, Mauer. I could not tell you what they are off the top of my head, but let me tell you, I treat that thing like the end all be all of how to rate college basketball teams. I think
Okay.
it's the best way. It's most accurate. If you look at like the teams that have won March Madness every year, a lot of the times they'll be the number one KenPom team.
Really?
Yeah. Although it is
Interesting.
also like after, if you're looking back after the fact, and you do definitely go up after winning the tournament. But
That makes
yeah.
sense. Yeah, it's
Still, like
kind
even
of a
beforehand, usually the number
Sure.
one team. Yeah.
Sure. Well, so you mentioned Tanjay. You think you said he could be a Big Ten Player of the Year candidate here. Do you think he's the best transfer in the nation? Obviously, it's been just absurd with all the NIL and transfer portal, just names going everywhere. And obviously Tanjay is who's been carrying our team this year.
Yeah, he probably is. Other people might say PJ Hagedy, that guy at Memphis. But he's playing in, what is that, the AAC, so he's averaging like 22. He's good. So I guess you could say he's one of the, he could be the best transfer. I still think it's probably Tanjay. Otherwise, Michigan's got like their two good big men, Danny Wolf and Vlad Golden.
Lad.
Those guys are both beasts, but I think Potter is probably better
Okay.
than both of them. And I don't know, maybe Chucky Hepburn. He's a great
Ooh.
transfer. I think
Yeah, he's been
Potter is
cooking
probably a
him.
little bit better than him, but yeah. I don't know. He definitely could be the best transfer in the nation.
Yeah, Hepburn too brought Louisville back from the depths. But as far as Tanjay, how high do you think he could go in the NBA draft? Do you think he'll get drafted into the NBA? I don't know. This is last year of
I don't
eligibility.
know. I haven't really been looking at NBA mock drafts, but Tanjay started playing college basketball when we started college.
Oh,
So
that's a while. That's a long
he's
time, yeah.
kind of old. He's a great
Sure.
player. I mean, his game could maybe translate to the NBA because he's a pretty good defender and could shoot really well, three and D. I think he'd get drafted. Maybe second round. I don't know. It'd be cool if he did.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, a guy who probably won't get drafted, but me and you actually, we kind of know him a little bit from high school. We got some courtside views at some Arrowhead basketball games. Obviously, Carter Gilmore, he's been, a revelation for us this year. He wasn't the fan base's favorite player in the past, but I feel like people have really grown a liking to him this year. So how did Carter Gilmore go from being a walk-on at Wisconsin to Gilly James? I think you called him Gilly James. He's a cult hero now. How did that happen?
Yeah, he is. You know, I think the one thing this season that's different from all the other ones is he's playing with so much confidence. And he has, like, you know, some of the best highlights among any of our players this year is just like his blocks and like gets Northwestern when he went on that run. I mean, he won us that game.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, you know, when he first started playing, you would hop on Twitter after we lost and you would think that Carter shot a newborn baby in front of everybody at the Kohl Center, the way people were talking about him. It was brutal. I felt bad for him. And it's not like he was even doing anything. He'd like come and miss a couple shots. And now, like, he dropped 7 points, and you would think that he dropped, like, 80 in a game seven of the finals. Like, I've never seen someone get more media attention for, you know, that game against Northwestern than him, which is sick. Like, and, yeah. And you know, he's a good guy. It's really nice to see him playing well, and everybody's loving him. Yeah. They do, in fact, call him Gilly James. He's getting MVP chance at the Kohl Center. That's funny and cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. He's just I guess he's just the ultimate glue guy now for us. But yeah, so I want to get into some other teams. So last thing on the Badgers here for you, but we haven't made a Sweet 16 since 2017. It's been what, 7-8 years since we've won two games in the tournament. So do you think I was kind of getting on him a little bit last year after we lost in embarrassing fashion to James Madison. Do you think Greg Gard could have been, you know, holding us back a little bit, or am I, you know, am I getting ahead
Absolutely
of myself?
Not. He's no. Like, he's on the list for coach of the year this year. I think he should win it. I mean, yeah. We were picked to go like 12th in the Big Ten, and now we're, you know, the 12th ranked team in the country. You know, bringing the transfers and doing what he does with, like, you know, developing players like Blackwell and Nolan Winter. And, I mean, even Crowell, like
Gilmore.
Gilmore, dude, he's a dog. I love Gard.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Definitely not out on him yet. Now, if we lose like first round again, yeah. I mean, I am a big believer that winning in March is very fluky. However, consistently not winning in March kind of takes out the flukiness of it. So yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it would be a real tough scene for Greg Gard if we end up as like a 3 seed and we lose round one to a 14 seed. I don't think that'll happen because we got a great squad.
I hope not.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Like, if they make it to the second round, there's so many good teams this year that are going to be like 7 through 10 seeds.
Yeah, well, let's get into that. I think maybe a couple of these teams I'll mention will be those 7-10 seeds. I was wondering, would you like to do a new segment presented by no one?
Oh, I would absolutely love to. Matt, you should get some sponsors.
I would love to have a sponsor. I don't know if I have quite the subscriber count for that yet, but this new segment is called March Sadness. So basically, I'm just going to give you a couple teams. I want you to let me know, is it over? Are these, you know, is it sadness? Is it over for these teams? You know, is there any hope?
Are they not making the tournament, or are they just like not going to go far at all?
I guess just in terms of like their initial expectations, or yeah, like if you don't think they're going to make the tournament, then it's probably over, right, you know.
I'll elaborate. Right.
Or if you think I got gonna, it. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. You can kind of take it whatever direction you want. But obviously this team that I'm going to name first, they're coming off back-to-back championships. So UConn, is it over?
A lot of my coworkers are actually like UConn fans. Interesting. So what's UConn?
It's not over.
It's not. It's never over with Dan Hurley. Certainly a disappointing season for them thus far, but he can always go on a run in March, especially like they like get hot in the Big East tournament.
Yeah,
yeah, that's never over.
Yeah, where do you think they'll probably end up for seeding?
I don't know.
I haven't really looked. I'd guess somewhere around like a 6. They're not ranked right now, right?
No, I don't think they're ranked at the moment.
They're probably pretty close. Yeah, maybe like 6, 7 seed. But see, that's a dangerous 6 or 7 seed. Like, that is not a team you want to play in, you know, in March.
Yeah, you run into Greg Gard in round two or three, and you got a shot there.
You're licking your chops, apparently.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
All right, let's continue on with March Sadness. Rutgers.
Rutgers is not going to make the tournament. That's very disappointing. Because they are a team that can beat literally anybody with Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. But
Yeah.
yeah, it is over for them. And it really shouldn't be. But
Yeah, it's so weird to me. How do you have ten, how do you have two top 10 NBA lottery picks and you can barely stay above 500? Doesn't make sense.
tough conference.
What?
Big Ten's a tough conference.
True, true, true.
They're
All
just
right,
not good.
let's yeah, couple more for you. North Carolina.
They're pretty mid.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be over for them. I don't really. I think I've lost like a couple of their games this year. They just haven't looked that good.
Do you see him making the tournament? I know they'd have to really sneak in there.
Think they are supposed to, but
Okay. Like last four in.
yeah, they'll probably be at the end. Which I don't know. At that point, maybe they're dangerous. See, I don't know,
It'd be a
but they
dangerous
got
10 or
talent.
11, right? Oh.
Yeah, I don't
So
know. I
maybe
also wouldn't mind
over.
playing them, and also no. All right, that's good. They're over. They're over. They're not.
They're over. Okay. Two more teams. Kansas.
No. Let me tell you, that Kansas team does not lack talent. They've got AJ Storr sitting on the bench, averaging like 8 minutes a game. It's not over for them. It's not over for them. They've got like a $10 million roster. But they're not
Hunter
good.
Dickinson.
They're not good. They're all right. They're
Yeah.
decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not over for them. I hope it is. I hate Hunter Dickinson. It's annoying.
You
But
hate Dickinson?
yeah, there's Michigan shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fine. Last team, another, maybe decent but not great team, Gonzaga. I've been shocked. I haven't seen them ranked in
Oh,
forever, and
that
I
is
feel like
where
they're
you are
always ranked.
wrong.
Oh, okay.
They are the eighth ranked team on KenPom, Matt.
Oh, but they're
Now,
okay, but I didn't see them in the AP poll. That's where
they
I
are not in
look.
the AP poll because they've lost a lot of games and they're in the West Coast. But let me tell you, some poor one or two seed is going to have to play them this in the first weekend of March Madness, and it's going to be a pick'em. So
Yeah.
there, it is definitely not over for them.
Okay.
They're a very good team. They've
All
just lost
right.
a lot of games.
Sure. Okay. So you like to see maybe a little Cinderella run from the Bulldogs here.
I mean, I don't know if I'd like to see it. I could see it happening.
You can envision it. You
I
wouldn't root
can.
for
I certainly can. And I hope
it.
it's not against the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah,
We're not going to be
me
a top
too.
2 seed though, so we probably won't play them until later.
Yeah, we'd have to win our last two and then win the Big Ten tournament. If we did that, we'd probably be a two, but yeah, other than
But they
that.
do have us as the 3 seed in Milwaukee, which would be very nice.
Ooh, dude, I would love to hit that. That's a de facto home game for us. That'd be
Yeah,
crazy.
it
And that you get
is.
the first two games in Milwaukee, right? If they put us
Yep.
there.
Well, let's assume they make that second game. We're not going
Oh
to count
yeah,
our chickens until they roost.
sorry, Greg Gard. but yeah, let's hope we make it out of that first game. But yeah, thanks for doing the March Sadness segment. But let's get into
Oh,
March
you are
Madness.
so incredibly welcome. I'd love to do it again.
Awesome, awesome. So there's been talks about I don't know how many teams. I don't know if I heard 86 as a number. That seems high. But are you in favor of ever expanding the tournament? I think. Currently, we're at
Absolutely
what,
not.
68 teams? Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely not. It is the best event in sports. Why would you mess with it? It's perfect the way it is. You've got just enough teams, and you even get that little taste of the first, couple play-in games playing that really kind of set the tone, hype you up. No,
Yep.
I absolutely not. Would not want to
Yeah.
expand.
Totally agree there. So as far as the Big Ten, I believe it's what? Is it the bottom two or the bottom four teams don't make the conference tournament? What do you think about that new rule that's in place because conferences are so huge. Do you think everyone should make the conference tournament?
No, I don't think everybody deserves to make it, that's per se. If you're a bottom team, like, you don't, I don't think you deserve a spot in the conference tournament. However, I wish that they were, because, you know, it's more basketball. It's more fun for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, why not have more, you know, more Big Ten tournament games? Those are like that conference tournament, you know, it's your little taste before March Madness. I love the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm. Do you even watch the one that that starts this week? Like, you watch like the A Sun and the Big Sky and all these tiny ones.
Love it. Those get you get some of the craziest games, especially once it gets to like the championship and these teams are literally playing for a bid to go to dance. Like, those games are so sick.
Yeah. Let's hope Milwaukee's in one of those games. They choked last year against Jack Golke. We'll see what happens.
Probably won't be as Green Bay. They are. Not
in the Horizon League. Yeah, have you been following any of that Doug Gottlieb story? Because
you're a little LeBron lover.
I don't even know what's the connection between Gottlieb and LeBron, because I saw like LeBron tweeted about him, but I don't even know like what would provoke that.
Yeah, I think Doug said something about Bronny.
Couldn't
like play on his team or something, and then he just like wins like four games.
Yeah, he said Bronny James wouldn't start on Green Bay. That's right. Yeah.
And I think, in fact, he probably would start on Green Bay.
yeah, he'd probably be the best player. I mean, considering he's averaging 30 in the G League, I think he'd be all right in the Horizon League.
I don't know that.
Maybe 30 might be a lot, but I don't. He's definitely had 30-point games, so he's playing well in the G League. Just you know, not so much in the NBA. But no, that Gottlieb story is hilarious. How are you gonna host a radio show and coach a team at the same time? I don't know how he thought that was gonna work ever. Getting back to like the, you didn't really call Gonzaga a Cinderella team, but what's one of those, you know, kind of Cinderella under the radar, what would be like a dark horse team you think that's, you know, people wouldn't expect but could make like a decent run in the March Madness, the big dance?
You know, that's a good question. I think Illinois is a team that can make a run. They've lost a good amount of games this year, but they've got some dogs. That like Kasparis guy from Lithuania, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, he's so good. And they've got Will Riley, another, like, both those guys are freshmen. So good.
Do you think they're in any danger of missing the tournament?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
They've lost games, but like they've got a lot of quad one wins, I'm sure. They just torched Michigan at Michigan.
Yeah, that's true.
They're good. And they can, you know, got a good coach. They can beat anybody. I don't know. There's a couple good teams out there that like I think Drake can maybe make a run.
Drake? Okay.
Or like VCU. Those boys, I watched like one or two of their games. They can play some defense. Yeah. They're actually like ranked pretty highly in Kempom this year.
The Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Do you know what a Commonwealth is?
Please don't ask me that on this podcast.
Sorry. I didn't mean to blindside you with the definition there. But okay, so VCU, Illinois, and Drake as some dark horse teams. Pencil them through your bracket a little bit if you can. I'm giving everyone this is I'm you're turning to Russell for your bracket advice.
That's not a good idea, because you know, when I didn't know that much about college basketball, my brackets, I'd win like one every year. Now I'd never win them anymore, and I watch like I know too much about college basketball. You need someone who doesn't know anything to do well in those brackets.
You need some chick that's picking based on the color of the team, and that'll be just as effective.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wanted to get some obviously predictions from you here. Can you give me a Final Four? Obviously, we won't have the bracket for another 2 weeks here, so we don't know how it all shake out. But if you had to pick four that you think will kind of make that run to San Antonio, who would you give me?
Yeah, It is certainly difficult to pick a Final Four before the bracket is out. So I hope this doesn't should be taken with a grain of salt. But four teams that I think will do well. Okay. The top two are the two highest ranked teams this year.
I think a path
to the Final Four is almost inevitable for them. And they both have, you know, the battling player of the year candidates, Duke and Auburn. Whenever I watch them, they just seem just far and away better than every team. I mean, Auburn's record is insane. Their quad one record's insane. Duke is just nuts. Cooper Flagg's nuts. And then, yeah, Auburn, you know, Jani Broome.
So good.
Yep.
I think both those teams probably make the Final Four.
Okay, a little chalk at the top.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just they're so good. Another team, I'll pick St. John's. They're very good this year. They might be perhaps a little bit overrated because of Mr. Patino. But I love him. I think he's so funny.
I like
wears his like white suit. I don't know. Yeah. He's a dog. I'd love to see them go far. I think they got a cool team, fun team. They can't shoot.
Yeah,
they're not a good shooting team.
I'm almost worried about like how much I believe in St. John. They just look so good with Patino, and like I want to go to Pottawatomie and like put a future on them to win the championship. But if they can't shoot threes, doesn't it seem like
they
it could
can't
be
shoot
a?
Anything.
They can't shoot free throws. There's like a clip of Rick Pitino. He's getting like interviewed, and they ask him how the team makes him feel, and he's like, you know, it's twofold. I love the way these guys, you know, try, or he says something like that. And then he's like, but when they shoot from the field and when they shoot from the free throw line, I want to kill myself. So
did he get fined for saying that?
I don't know, but that's the
second time he said he's wanted to kill himself this year in an interview. So I think he just doesn't care. I don't know. He's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they can't shoot, but that hasn't stopped teams from doing well before. They play well. So I kind of hope they go far. I really want to see them go far. And I guess I'll predict them to go far. And, you know, the fourth team will sneak in the Badgers. Why not?
All right. Let's go.
You know,
you dub. Greg Gard making a name for himself.
I sure hope so.
Give him that extension. Gilly James, Final Four MVP.
Yeah.
We like.
You will get some even more recognition if we make a run. Can you imagine like Gilly James in that kind of spotlight?
Dude, if we pull off like a little upset of a one seed or something and Gil hits a couple threes, he'll be a cult hero nationwide.
Yeah, I mean, he's already like all over the Big Ten. Just wait.
Yeah. I'm excited. Well, so you give me your top four, your final four. So can I get a national champion? Who's going to win out of those four? Or if, you know, you can even say fuck it and just name a fifth team that you think will win it. But
I won't do that. You know, as much as I'd love to say Wisconsin, I won't. It's between Auburn and Duke.
We'll go with Duke.
They just have so much talent on that team. And they've been, and the reason I'll say Duke is because like the last, you know, couple weeks I've been watching them play, they've been just insane.
Are you worried at all? Are you worried at all that Cooper Flagg sweats too much? He keeps slipping in his own sweat, right? I mean, he was going up to hit the game winner. He just slipped.
You know,
maybe he's learned from his mistakes and he won't do that anymore. He's also
anymore.
Probably going to, I mean, it's between him and Jani Broome, but I think he's the favorite.
Maybe not. I don't know.
He should win player of the year, right? You'd think.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. It's him and
Jani Broome.
Fair enough. All right. Well, you're going with the Duke Blue Devils.
Yes, I will pick Duke.
It's a very chalk pick, but
that's all right.
My real pick is Duke or Auburn. How about that?
Duke or Auburn. Okay, that's smart. Those will coincidentally probably be
the two highest odds teams.
Yeah, those will probably be the two. But
they are most picked.
Yeah, no, it's hard to argue with talent like that. Well, hey man, thanks for joining me on the podcast. I just got one last question for you. I'm glad we got to talk some college basketball. I'm really excited for that coming up. But last question for you. I know you know Goosebump Sports is something I'm trying to bring to fruition. You know, that's what I think the best part about sports is those moments that give you goosebumps. So I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite goosebump moment, your all-time favorite sports moment, you know, buzzer beater, whether you're at the game or watching it? And, you know, if you can't think of one, you know, what are some that come to mind for you as, you know, most memorable sports moments you've witnessed? Sorry, I should have put this one on the notes, giving you a little time to think it over. And that's a tough question.
Game two of wild card Brewers baseball last year.
Oh,
when we I think we hit back to back home runs. Shoot, I was at game three too, and I remember that game being electric.
Yeah.
Also, last year beating Purdue in the Big Ten tournament at the end of the year. I don't know if you remember that game. It went to OT and we won. I watched the end of that game on a phone in Potbelly during a break in our St. Patrick's Day bar crawl, Chicago.
That's random.
But we were freaking out in that Potbelly.
Yeah, no kidding. Chucky Hepburn and Max Klesmer were clutch.
Yeah. That game was sick. I don't know. It's hard to pick. Yeah, you didn't give me a heads up with this one, Maurer.
Yeah, sorry. I should have given you the heads up on that. Sorry, I wanted a couple.
Hard question you've asked.
Yeah, that is. That's a tough one. You gotta pick one, but no, I like those two moments you picked. But yeah, man, thanks so much for joining me on the show. You're welcome back on anytime. I'd love to have you back. And yeah, I'm excited for March Madness. Let's see what the Badgers can do here.
No. Yep.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It was a delight.
Yes, sir. Same here. All right, brother. Well, thanks so much. I'll see you later.
Thank you, Russell, for pulling up to the podcast. Really appreciate it, man. We got to do it again soon. And yeah, let's hope your prediction comes true and our Badgers can make it to the Final Four here. But yeah, thanks again, man, for pulling up. Let's finish out the show here. We got our goosebump moments of the week. Starting it off at number 10. I can't believe this is the 10th ranked play because it's such an amazing play, but it's Kobe White's 4-point play. How is that number 10? I don't know. But yeah, number 10 goosebump moment of the week. Kobe White's 4-point play to force overtime.
To tie the game on a 4-point play with 4 seconds left.
Kobe White keeps it.
Number 9, OG Anunoby hits the 3 with 4 seconds left to defeat the Grizzlies.
Anunoby from 3, it's good. OG Anunoby with just over 4 seconds remaining of the Knicks. They'll lead by 1.
Number 8, De'Aaron Fox hits a clutch mid-range fadeaway to win it.
Slams on the brakes. His fadeaway is in with 1.8.
Number 7, Dariel Osiria hits a walk-off grand slam as Kansas defeats Omaha on opening night of college baseball. Baseball's back.
Jayhawks walk it off on opening night.
That is awesome.
Number 6, Jamel Jones hits the elbow jumper at the horn to win it for Bakersfield.
Wins it for Bakersfield.
Number 5, Madison Green slips and somehow still manages to tie the game. But Sarah Tabiasu hits the running 3 as Maryland wins a wild one in women's college hoops. Number four, Dyson Daniels gets the steal, and Caris LeVert hits a Euro step at the buzzer to win a wild one.
Caris goes up, scores at the buzzer. It's all over.
Game.
Caris LeVert wins it for the Hawks.
Game.
A steal and lay-in.
Number three, Namari Burnett hits a clutch three just before the buzzer sounds to give the Wolverines the W.
Down Ganey. Now Mayshak.
Number two, Jemai Mayshak hits a pull-up tray at the buzzer for Tennessee.
Hampson back in with
number one moment of the week. Madison Wilkie banks in the half-court shot at the horn for the win. Am I tripping, or do we get a half-court shot in the Goosebump Moments of the Week every single week there's a basketball game? I feel like I don't know. I feel like it happens all too often. I'm not mad about it. It gives me some content to talk about. But let's finish out the show here. Continue talking some more basketball. We got the conference tournaments are starting out this week. It's conference tournament week. Well, actually, conference tournament week is next week. It's the week before. There's two conference tournament weeks. It's confusing, but I'm going to give the first half of the conference tournament picks. So all the tournaments that'll be probably done by the next time I do a podcast. By the way, in those Goosebumps Moments a week, I did miss some moments from tonight, but don't worry, I'll put them in next week's. The timing is just off, and that's on me. But let's do our conference tournament picks for the A-Sun. I'm gonna pick Stetson. Only reason for Stetson is I remember Makai Ellison hit a half court shot to win it for Stetson, so I like them. Big Sky, I like Montana State. Only reason I'm picking them is because I have two friends that go there, Sam and Whitey, the Enans. They go to Montana State, so I gotta rep them. The Big South, let's go with Winthrop. It's the coolest sounding name. There's not a lot of thought put in these picks, y'all, but I'm gonna pick all of them. I don't have the time of day. Actually, I do. I don't do anything. But I didn't go into research and figure out who's a good team. I'm just picking who's winning these tournaments. But in the CAA, I don't even remember what that stands for. Give me William and Mary. It's a guy and a woman, but let's have Mary win something here in the men's tournament. In the Horizon League, I like Milwaukee. They got close last year. They got stymied by Jack Gehlke in the championship game. But I like the Milwaukee Panthers to win the Horizon League. Missouri Valley League, I like Drake. I don't like Drake the artist, but I like Drake even more so after Russ told me that he likes them as a little sleeper team. Northeast, let's go Long Island, sure, LIU, I guess. No reasoning for that one, I guess. Patriot League, American, you got to go with American in the Patriot League. That's pretty patriotic to name your school American. In the Southern League, I'm going to go with the Citadel. Now, this is probably the dumbest pick of them all because I believe the Citadel is like 0-18 in conference play right now. But I like them to win the tournament just because that would be the coolest Cinderella story of all time. But don't take any of this as gambling advice. You will not do well at all. In the Summit League, let's go North Dakota State. I don't know. I think I knew a couple people who went to college there, and I think Spat Pat lives there. Shout out anyone who knows Spat Pat, Spencer. Two more, picks here. We got the Sun Belt. Give me Troy. I don't know. It sounds ancient. It sounds like some Roman town. I'm really showing how much history I don't know here. Last pick, I'll go with the West Coast Conference. I'm gonna go with San Francisco. I bet Russ probably likes Gonzaga to win that one. That's probably the smarter pick. But I'm gonna go with San Francisco. I've watched a couple of their games this year, just because they're like always the last game on. They have games that start at 10 p.m. So I'm like, hey, we got a basketball game on here, so I'm gonna turn it on. But yeah, give me the Dons. I really like that their team name is the Dons. That's one of the coolest mascots you could probably have. But I don't know. I guess my whole point here is that March Madness is so fucking unpredictable that there's no single method, and I should put a dollar in the F-bomb jar for saying the F-word there. These are post-it notes. Don't worry. I'll get them replaced at some point. But my point is March Madness is so effing unpredictable that there's no single method to perfectly pick games. Hopefully one day someone will pick a perfect bracket, but that's pretty much impossible because this is March.